They've been cooking 10 hours. You talk about good. Whew. Hot dog. All right. 1 John chapter 4, and we're just getting into it, and we read some scriptures in Ephesians last week, but I want to get started here and read this one verse. And this verse really jumped out at me as I got to it. Verse 1, and about bearing fruit, how the spiritual warfare we're in, if we know we are ordained to go forth and bear forth fruit, we know that, and we know that from the Word of God, that's what God's, He's ordained us that we should do these things. So if God's done this, then we know also that Satan knows this, and Satan's going to do everything in his power to make sure you don't bear fruit, to make sure your testimony is worthless, that you have no effect to the people you're around. In other words, when you start talking about Jesus, they're going to look at you and go, what? They're going to look at you and they're going to laugh you to scorn and think, you ain't got nothing I want. And as far as your spiritual life, and that's why we need to be very, very careful in how we approach people. Look at verse 1 here in chapter 4 in 1 John. And said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now this is talking about false prophets going out in the world, and we know that, but it did say try the spirits. What do you think? Give me some input here. What does trying the spirits mean? Testing. How would you test the spirit? Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because we're going to think about it. There's the key. Is it from God or is it from the devil? Is there in the middle? Can something be in the between? There is none in between. We know from Scripture teaches us that there's the devil, we know there's God, and we know we're in the middle. We're on the battleground. But in this verse says to try the spirits whether they be of God. Give me some other thing. How do you think you would try a spirit? Could it be somebody speaks to you? Just in general. Could that person have a spirit? Oh, yes. But just talking about to try one. Here's a good tester for the spirit. To see if it lines up with the book. Does it line up with the book? Does the book back up what they're saying? In the book you hold in your hand, this ought to be our guideline. This ought to be our stay. This ought to be what we measure everything out. So the Bible is our guideline. Give me some verses of why the Bible should be our guideline. I know I'm getting you thinking now. I'm getting you out of bed. If you drunk any coffee, I'm going to put it to work this morning. Oh, come out from among you and be ye separate. Saith me? Saith who? Say, the Lord's the one that tells us this. So we know God tells us to pull out from the world, be separate, come out from them. How can light have fellowship with darkness? How can Belial have fellowship with Christ? There's no one in the middle there. He divides them totally in them. Even in Old Testament, Elijah stands out among the people and says, how long ye halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him, and if Baal, serve him. Make your mind up. And he calls for a test. He brings all the people out. Now remember, there's Ahab. He's kind of a crooked king and he's a religious king. He's kind of riding the fence all the time. And he's got a wonderful, sweet, loving wife that's named Jezebel. Boy, she's just a darling to have around. But anyways, Elijah calls all the people out and he calls out 450 prophets of Baal, 400 from the grove. Now, can you imagine living in a day when all the people are listening, you have 850 preachers preaching pagan worship. Mixed into your church, mixed in with your people. 850, let alone all the people that's, you know, because you got a preacher, you got a right-hand man, you got a second-hand man, you know, people that stand by there. So let alone just the prophets himself, all the people that stood below them with these prophets of Baal, prophets of the grove, and he calls for a test. And we know how that turned. I think he prayed 63 words. Fire comes down, consumes the sacrifice of Elijah, and they find out and say, God be God, and we shall serve him. But Jesus says the same thing. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Thou either love one or hate the other. Thou cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's pleasures or riches of the world. You can't do both. So there's another place where God draws a line very carefully in the middle and says you cannot do both of them. So as we see here, this spirit that tries, a spirit that will try you is a spirit that will get you to compromise what the Word of God says. That's what I'm, when I read this and said, try the spirits whether they be of God. In other words, do they back up what this says? And if they don't, then I'd be getting far away from them as I could. It's kind of like getting a flu bug around. You want to shake somebody's hand that's got the robotic plague? No sirree, Bob. I'm going to say, I'm going to stay away from you. You got the robotic plague. I don't want it. I don't want to get sick. So getting to the Word of God. So everything we should do, it should be filtered through the Word of God. It should be our base, our line. Now, what are some reasons why? One of it, God says, come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What's some other things? What are some other things? The Bible teaches us. Very specific at times. Very specific at times. A lot to stay away from. Now here, when we know the Word of God, I can be around someone 2 minutes, and usually, and you can too, we can be the most precise heart inspectors, better than any surgeon ever thought about being. And you know how I can tell? What comes out of somebody's mouth. It tells me exactly what's inside their heart. Because it won't take long to figure this out neither. You can say all what you want to say, but your mouth will tell what's inside of you. And I know that. How I know that? For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. We know that from the scriptures. It teaches me that. So what, if you're mumbling, grumbling, complaining, that's what's in your heart. That's what's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to tell everybody what's inside you. What matters to you, that's what will come out. If it's faith in God, if it's the things about God, if it's witnessing, if it's praying for someone, those things will flood out of your mouth. Those things will come forth because that's what's inside of you. And a lot of times we have mixed things coming in because we're having a bad day. We're having a hard time. And then those things come out because that's what's inside of us. That's what comes out of us. Those are things that come forth from our mouth. So the scriptures is our guideline. Here's one for you. As Jesus fought off Satan. Can you just imagine? 3 days. I made it 3 days one time fasting. I thought I was going to die. I like eating. I just, one of them things of life, brother, I just get along good with food. Me and food just have ourselves a time. But let alone 40 days. No food. You're near death. You are near dying. You are weak. You got to be delirious because, I mean, you got to be. I mean, 40 days, no food, no drink. You are famished. You are in dire need of a physician to come help you. You're in trouble. Satan comes up to Jesus, the very darling Son of God. Said, if I'll be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Could Jesus did it? Huh? He could have. He had the power. But what did Jesus say? Huh? He says, it is written. There it is. Now Jesus is he's the living Word of God, in breath, in life, walking and breathing amongst us, and and here is the Prince of Darkness himself saying, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And he says, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, devil learned a very vital lesson on that day when he come to Jesus. Jesus is weak. Jesus is delirious. He's hungry. He's probably wobbling, probably sit down. I mean, he's 40 days, okay? He's near death. Satan's thinking, I got him. I'm going to trick him up. So he puts a spin, gets him where it hurts. I'm going to get him in the belly. You know, he's hungry. And Jesus still yet says, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have, now listen. Somebody look up 2 Timothy 3:16 for me. Somebody quick, Bible drills. Who's got it? Raise your hand. Whoa, stop. It says, some scripture. So if all scripture, we have a complete Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Now listen, this is good. What does the word inspiration mean? I'm going to have fun with this. This is so good. It means literally to breathe in. So, when Jesus is speaking, he knew what was going to be written for us. Because the letters of Paul have not been recorded. Paul ain't even been saved yet when Jesus speaks to the devil and he says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Devil knows this. So it's very vital for Satan to make sure he can keep you away from the very breath of God. If he knows this. So if he can keep you away from that book. Say on Sunday, I read it every Sunday. I got it in Sunday school. I got it in worship hour. I'm good to go. But the whole rest of the week, our battlefield is open from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we're back here again. All scripture is given by inspiration. Are you still there, sis? Now read the rest of that. And this is a good word. It is profitable. It's profitable. What did it do to the devil that day? When Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan tries something else. What did he try next? Who can tell me? What's the third one? The second one, he said, Satan starts using scripture. He's clever. He's more subtle than any beast in the field. He uses scripture. Did not God say that he give charge concerning his angels, lest thou dash thy foot against stone? He's going to tell him to jump off his pinnacle and said, did not God say He give charge concerning His angels. In other words, His angels is going to catch you. He's using Scripture. Boy, the devil's really getting keen now. He's using the Bible, but He's using a twist. He's being very deceptive. So to try the spirits, so a spirit, we can see here from Satan himself, will use the Bible with a twist. Was that the whole Bible? Was He giving him the whole word as in truth? Because it didn't mix with another scripture. It says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Jesus says again, and I love how Jesus says it. He says, again it is written. He tells him again. Again, he says again. A-G-A-I-N. Again it is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So these snake handlers, are they got faith? No, they're dumb what they are. Hand me a snake. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We'll just cut his head off and end that snake religion. So we know here the word of God is profitable. And profitable, Satan knows it's profitable. And then the third thing, he comes to Jesus. Three times he come to him while Jesus is weak, tempts him to turn the stone to bread. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth. Then he gets him to try to jump off a pinnacle. He said, did not God say he give charge concerning his angels concerning thee? And he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the third thing he says, he says, bow down to me and I'll give you all of this land. Now, could Satan honor? Could he have honored that? Who is God of this world right now? Satan is. He is. All these rock stars and all these movie stars, who you think they bow? A lot of them admit it. They'll just tell you flat out. They'll just say, yeah, we've sold our soul for fame and fortune. We have. We give in. So, and here, Jesus again, the third time, he says, it is written. So anything that does not come from this book, that is all scriptures given by inspiration of God, it's the very breath of God, and is profitable. Who's it profitable for? So to bear fruit in our life, we must be in the Bible to bear real fruit. If we're going to hoe around and plow in the master's garden, we must be in the Bible to bear forth fruit. Or we're going to be standing there in a situation when we have a chance to say something right and hold our tongue because we can't think of a scripture right now. Because we've not exercised our right to get in the Word of God and help ourselves out. Now, right after this, Jesus was so weak. It said the angels come and minister to him. And Satan, after the third time now, Satan's hitting him where it counts. Hit him in his gut. Got him where it's hungry. He gets him there. Gets him to tempt God. He won't do that. Gets him to try to bow down and worship me. He won't do that. Then it says, Satan fled from him. Now this is interesting because each time Jesus said, it is written, he spoke verbally out loud to the devil. So in the spiritual warfare he's in, he spoke. You ever been tempted and literally just said out loud, get ye behind me, Satan? I have. You've been attacked spiritually and you just said it out loud, get ye behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. We're in a real spiritual battle that is very, very real. And if Satan can get in our minds as his demons, his minions, whatever you want to say, get in your mind and get you to doubt that book, that is so important, so vital in your life. That way you can be fruitful in the things of God. Jesus answered each time, it is written. Man should not live by bread alone. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he says, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Satan will come up, oh, you don't have to get that serious about the Bible. You don't have to be that literal about it. You don't have to take it that serious. Teenagers are good for that. They think, that's Bible times. You can't do that. No, it's a very, very, very serious matter. When you take that book and compromise what it says, we must take it literal, must take it to heart, must take it very serious, serious matter. When Jesus defeats the devil, and we know in, what is it, in James 4, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Then it says, resist, fight the devil, and he will flee. That's a good feeling when you know he run off. When all these troubles, it was in your mind, and all of a sudden, he's gone. He's gone. Woo-hoo! And then you're tickled, then he's gone. And you know he's gone. Because that doubt, that despair that you was fighting is, it's left. Because it's another presence. Try the spirits whether they be of God. So that's our plumb line. And you got some literal plumb lines in there. I made one. I didn't know they still made them. That's what they'd use to measure a wall to see if it was straight. And God told in Joel, or yeah, 7, verse 7, I believe, he says, my word is like a plumb line upon thee, O Israel. In other words, to see if you're straight. Because a bowing wall does what when time falls on? What happens to a bowing wall? It'll fall. It won't hold. It'll stand for a little while, but in time, the weight finally just bends over and then it falls. Who wants to build a house upon a bowed foundation? It might hold for a while, but in time, it's going to tell. So the Word of God is our plumb line. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is what we try the Spirit's mind. And we have to be honest with ourselves and realize this, Lord, are we compromising here? Are we trying to do this for my own benefit to make it fit me? And that's where we have to be very, very honest with ourselves. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And now notice how this is written. As it says here, and is profitable for doctrine. Notice there's a comma and they reprinted it from the Greek to the English. Now listen, that means it's profitable for doctrine. That means it's profitable for reproof. That means it's profitable for correction. That means it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And all those things are profitable for us so we can do what? Bear forth fruit for the kingdom of God. It's all about gardening the God. He's a simple God. He said his word is like seed. We're to plant the seed and let God bring the increase. Pretty simple. But if you got somebody, you ever see a kid plant seed? I went to a door once with a guy, Stephen. A knock on a door. Lady answers the door. We're standing there witnessing. I just said, my name's Roger Hall. I'm down here, down the road here, and we're just encouraging folks to come out to the house of God. You go to church anywhere. She starts breaking down crying. God had it, boy, God had it set up already. She was broken before we got there. God already had her heart warm. Stephen starts giving her Bible doctrine. Well, that he starts giving fighting and spiritual warfare, and I'm trying to elbow him like, shh, just let God's working here. We just need to just kind of just fan the flame a little, let God do his work. But what I was getting to, you ever see a kid throw seed? Isaac was bad. He'd be planting corn. I go back behind him. I'd be covering it up. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Son, I said, put each seed about 8 inches apart. And he'd have five here, about this fur, be three or four. Come. He'd empty a bag out in 10 feet and it'd be all there laying in the ground. I'm done, Dan. I'm all done. I got it all planted. Now, they might have popped up out of the ground, wouldn't they? They'd all smothered theirself, wouldn't they? You ever pull suckers out of the field because you got too much? I've did it more than once, but usually because I had a kid help me. But getting back to the Word of God, planting the Word of God, sometimes you just need to sow gently. If you can just tell someone that God loves them and God has a plan for their life, they just listen. And now God, because God's the one that works on the soul and stuff. Sometimes we're trying to be the Holy Ghost. We're trying to be the planner. And we want to be God and bring forth the increase, all three. And that's none of our business. None of it is. We're just the plant. Plant and be there and see him again. Hey, praying for you. And just walk on. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But now the things that keep us from planting seed. It's in spirits we try every day that keeps us from this book, keeps us from witnessing, and keeps us from having faith that knowing we're doing the Master's duty, bearing forth fruit. You can't bear forth fruit if we're not sowing. And if God's ordained us all to bear forth fruit, if we're not sowing, how are we going to get any fruit from it? So we gotta be planting. Well, I'm out of time. I'm way out of time. So let's pray. Father, dear God, thank you for your word. Lord, as we know you've ordained us to bear forth fruit, and we know we're to try the spirits, and we know every spirit that comes in is not from you. The devil has a truckload of them. Deceitful, working on our flesh, working on things of life, and getting us to try to tempt you, Lord. Help us to be wise. Bless the servant. Preach our preacher, dear God. Save that soul nearest hell. Somebody here today, they need you, Lord. Save them, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.